All right, Rabbi. Good morning. Let's begin. We left off. Today's daf is Memches, but we left off Memzayin Amud Beis. If you remember, again, the Mishnah was talking about the Daf Yomi. This morning is sponsored by Lydia Berman and Ann Berman. Today is the Shloshim of Sheldon, of Shmuel Yoel Ben Shalom Tuvia. Ben Shalom Tuvia, and we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama will have an aliyah. Alright, so we left off yesterday that the Mishnah spoke about Hatmana. Right, the Mishnah spoke about the idea of insulating. It spoke about the idea that you're not permitted on Shabbos, or excuse me, even on Erev Shabbos, to go ahead and insulate with a Dover HaMosif Hevel, with something that goes ahead and intensifies the heat of the object. So the Gemara asked the following question. The Mishnah said you can't use Gefes. But the question is, Gefes, as Rashi pointed out, really just means pulp. The Shaila the Gemara had was, what kind of pulp are we referring to? So the Gemara put forward two possibilities. Either it's referring to the pulp of olives, which generate a lot of heat. But let's say pulp of sesame seeds would be okay. On the other hand, maybe the Gemara is saying pulp of sesame seeds, and all the more so, pulp of olives would be problematic. So the Gemara says the following. Tinan, we left off five lines up from the bottom. Tinan, the Chosha, I'm sorry, excuse me, four lines up from the bottom. Tashma, the Amr Rabbi Zera Mishum Chad Debe Rabbi Yanai. So Rabbi Zera said in the name of one of the people from the Yeshiva Rabbi Yanai, Kupa Shataman Ba Asr Lahaniach Al Gefes Shal Zaysin. If you have, this is actually an interesting case. A kupa shetaman ba. Rashi says shenosein ba muchin v'tomin ba kedera. So if you have a box, into which you placed an item and you placed insulation into that box as well, you're not permitted to go ahead and place that box on top of the pulp of olives. Shmamina shel zaysim. So the Gemara says, oh, what do you see from here? That the only issue of hatmana is with the pulp of olives and not with other items. To which the Gemara says, no. The olam emel achol le'inyin hatmana dishum sheminami aser. The Gemara says, no, when it comes to insulating, the pulp of the sesame seeds will also be aser. So what's happening over here? Le'inyan top of memches. Le'inyan asuke havla. But when it comes to Rabosha, asuke havla means allowing heat to rise. Look at Rashi. Kigon ze shehitmin bedavar acher v'yaniach kupa al gefes deleka elisha gefes ma'lo hevel lemalo umasiach kider shebekuv. Rabos, it's a very specific case. The case that the Gemara just quoted before is a case of where you're placing an item on top of the pulp. You're not surrounding it. You're placing it on top. So the Gemara says asuki havla. When it comes to the ability to go ahead, asuki havla literally means heat rises. When it comes to the ability for the heat to rise, dizesim maskim havla, dishum shemin lo maski havla. It's only by olives that the heat of the olive pulp rises, but the heat, let's say, of other pulps like sesame seeds does not rise. So that's the distinction. But in terms of actual hatman, in terms of actual insulation, even insulating with the pulp of sesame seeds would be problematic. Rabba for Rabbi Zera, iklo lebe Reish Galusa. Rabba and Rabbi Zera went to the house of the Reish Galusa. Remember, the Reish Galusa was the head of the Galus. Who was the head of the Galus? So what happened? Chaz Yuhan lahu avda. They saw one of the servants of the Reish Galusa, the Anach Kuza Demaya Apuma de Kumkuma. And they saw one of the servants go ahead and put the verse. This is actually interesting. Kuza demaya means a jug of water. Apuma de kumkuma, like a kumkum, right? They saw him put the jug of water on the mouth of the kettle. Rashi says apuma de kumkuma mecham shel chamin v'hakuza haisamalei atzunei. So, Rabbi, here's the case. So the servant was taking a jug of water that was filled with cold water, and he was putting it on top of the kettle. On top of the kettle to warm it up. Now, Bosse, lav dafka case of bishul, not to go ahead and cook it, but he was putting it there to go ahead and warm it up. Okay, so the Gemara says, Nasye Rabba. Rabba scolded him. Garbo. Rabba scolded him. So the Gemara says, Amali Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Zera, who was there with Rabba, said to him, Maishna mi mechum al gabe mechum. So Rabbi Zera said to Rabba, I don't understand. Why did you scold him? Obviously, the fact that you scold him means that you think he did something wrong. Why did he do something wrong? Why is this different than mecham al gabe mecham? Look at Rashi. Well, actually, Rashi doesn't have it. Rashi says, "Design the bebraisa b'sof pirkin nishar." Mecham al gabe mecham means putting one pot on top of another pot. So we'll learn later on that putting one pot on top of another pot to heat it up is fine. So Rabbi Zera says to Rabba, so I don't understand, why are you scolding the servant for putting the jug of cold water on top of the kettle? We've already learned that putting one pot on top of another pot is okay. To which Rabba responds, no, two different cases. Amalei, hasam ukumi kamokim. Haha, aludi kamolit. In the case of Mecham Agavi Mecham, Rabbo say, what are you doing? You're sustaining heat. The case over there is that both pots are already hot. What you're doing is you're putting the upper pot on top of the lower pot in order to go ahead and sustain the heat in the upper pot, so the pot of the heat of the lower pot will rise into the hot. So you're not creating heat, you are sustaining heat. However, here, Hacha aludi kamolit. Here, what the servant was trying to do was what? Was to generate heat. Literally, aludi, he's birthing heat, right? He wants to bring heat. Look at Rashi. Hasam, akume mokim, shamecham elyon yeshbo gam ma'im chamin, v'atachnon eno ele ma'amit chomo shlo yafik. So we'll say, in the case of mecham agabi mecham, they already both are hot. You just want the heat of the lower pot to continue to heat the upper pot. Here, the servant wants to generate new heat within the cold water. So we'll discuss exactly what's going on over here, because it could be, maybe just the pashup shot, is that official? Maybe that's what the rabbi was concerned about, that if you leave the cold water on top of the kettle, the cold water will ultimately cook. Although, again, if that's the case, it would be strange that Rabbi Zera did not realize that. It would be strange that Rabbi Zera then questioned Rabbi. But okay, we'll come back to that. So the Gemara says the following. Hadar chaze de paroch das tudar apume de kuba. This is actually interesting. Then they saw the same servant spread out a das tudar. Rashi's das tudar is sudar shel rosh, right? Sudar shel rosh.
Just a test.
Should I turn sideways and smile every once in a while?
It's your good side.
It's my good side. Okay. So now. They also saw that the servant went ahead and put Dastuda, Rashi says, is a turban. He put his turban apume de kuba on top of the pot, right? Or literally, this is also the kankan on top of the jug. The anach natla iluya, and he put like a spoon or a ladle on top of the turban. Now what's going on? We'll look at Rashi in just a moment. So kuba Dastuda, Rashi says, is a turban. Kuba is a kankan. Natla is kli sheshavin yayin minakuva. A little. Alright, so what happened? Nase Rabba. So Rabba chastised him. Amarle Rabbi Zera, amai. So Rabbi Zera said, why are you chastising the servant? Amarle hashta chazis. So Rabba said, just wait, and you're going to see why I chastised him. Lusof chazye de kama atzerle. Later on, what did he saw? He saw that the servant was ma'atzer. Look at Rashi. Rashi says the ka'atzer shayasochlo mina mayim shenivalu bo. He saw later on that the servant was squeezing out the turban. So meaning what happened? So I will say the servant had put the turban on top of the pot, right, to essentially keep the heat within the pot. So Rabba chastised him. Rabbi Zera said, why are you chastising him? Rabba said, wait and see. Rabba knew what was going to happen at the end was what? That he was going to squeeze the absorbed water out of the turban, which of course is problematic on Shabbos. You can't squeeze water out of a fabric on Shabbos. There could be a couple of different reasons depending on what the fabric and what the liquid is, but it could be malabein, it could be laundering, it could be schita, it could be squeezing. So the point that Rabba says, Rabba knew he was going to squeeze it out. So Rabbi Zera says, Amarle, maishna mi paronka. Why is this different than paronka? Look at Rashi. Maishna mi paronka, beged ha'osui lifros alagigis, she person obishabis. Why is this different than a regular, what they used to do is, they didn't always use pot covers. Sometimes they would just use a rag. So why is this different than the rag that you normally put on top of the pot on Shabbos? So the Gemara's Amarle, Rabba responded, Hasam lo kaped iluya, haha kaped iluya. Because in the case of the rag, no one cares about the rag. So because no one cares about the rag, no one's going to take the time to squeeze it out after it's used. They'll just put it on the side, it'll dry out on its own. But the turban, which for Pashto somebody's going to wear, so Rabba understood that the servant was going to go ahead and squeeze it out because he had to make it usable to wear. It's fine. Velo b'tevin. So similarly, the Mishnah said that you may not go ahead and insulate with Teven. Now the Mishnah gave a whole list. Not with Teven, not with Zogim, bless you, not with Muchin. So the Gemara says the following. Boy mine Rav Ada bar Masna me Abaye. Muchin shetamin bohen, mahu l'taltalon b'shabbos. If you used Muchin to go ahead and insulate, is it Muktzah for the rest of Shabbos? So both sides. What we're talking about over here is the following. Muchin, Rashi said, Rashi defined Muchin as the following. He said, Rashi said, kol davar rach, covering Muchin. Anything that's soft is called Muchin. Kigon semer gefen, utlishet semer rach, shal behemo, ugriras begodim beluyim. So according to Rashi, Muchin means anything that's soft, whether it's cotton, whether it's wool, whether it's worn out clothing, whatever it is, anything that's soft is called Muchin. So now the Gemara asks the following question. Now, a lot of times also this type of muchin represents the raw material that ultimately was going to be made into felt. So the Gemara asks the following question. If you used some of this muchin item, so are you permitted to carry, to move the muchin item on Shabbos, or is the muchin item considered to be muktzah? So the Gemara says the following. Amarle, see, responded to him. So this is now Abai responds to Rav Ada bar Masna. V'chim mipnei she'in lo kupa shel teven omed u'mafkir kupa shel muchin. Do you think that because a person doesn't have a basket of straw, he gets up and he makes hefker his basket of muchin? In other words, what is Abaye saying? That Abaye is saying that halacha lemaisa, just because he's using it for insulation, doesn't mean that he has negated it from its original purpose. So meaning, normally you would insulate with something insignificant like straw. But just because he doesn't have straw, do you think he doesn't care about the muchin anymore, and he's just going to use it to insulate, and it'll be mafkirit? No. Obviously, he still has intention, even though he's using it for insulation purposes now, he still has intention to go ahead and use it later on. And therefore what? And therefore, halacha lemaisa, it's still muktzah. It's still muktzah.
As long as it doesn't ruin.
Correct. There's no reason that hatmana should ruin anything. Correct. So the Gemara says the following. Leima misayele. So let's bring a brayso that would seem to support this. Tomnin begizei tzemer, ubitzifei tzemer, ubilashono shel argamon, ubemochin. You can insulate a pot with gizei tzemer, so shearings of wool, tzifei tzemer, like mats of wool, lushono shel argamon, strips of purple wool, ubemochin. And with this, I don't know if there's a good English word for muchin, soft material. Okay, so the Gemara says the following. Ve'im metaltalin osam. But yet, you may not go ahead and move it. So I will say, by the way, just so you understand, just because how can you insulate it and not move it? So the truth is, remember, we'll discuss that later on. Ultimately, they would often insulate within a kli itself. So you'd have, let's say, a receptacle. You would line the receptacle with the muchin. You'd put the pot into the receptacle. So you could lift the pot in and out without necessarily moving the muchin. And even if the muchin was on top, we'll see that lifting the pot, the muchin would slide off by itself, and that's not considered to be as if you yourself are moving the muchin. So the Gemara says the following. So therefore, we see from this price over here that you're not permitted to go ahead and move the muchin. So the Gemara says, imi shum ha, but the Gemara says, if that's the case, imi shum ha, lo iria. So the Gemara says, if this price is your proof, it's not a good proof. Hachi kamar, because this is what you could say. Im lo taman bahen, ein metaltlin osan. So the Gemara says, you can easily read that price as saying, when can't you carry the muchin? Only if you didn't use it for Hatmana. But if you used it for Hatmana, you should be able to move it. So the Gemara says, Ihachi mai lememra. If that's the case, then what's the Chiddush? Ma'u detema, what would I have thought? Chazi lemazga alaihu. I might have thought that halacha lemaisa, the muchin, should never be muktzah. Why? Because it always has a permitted purpose on Shabbos. What's the permitted purpose on Shabbos? Lemizga alaihu. Look at Rashi. Lemizga alaihu. Lehasiv alehen. Technically speaking, what can you do with the muchin? You could use it as a cushion. So because you can use it as a cushion, that's a permitted use for it on Shabbos, and therefore it shouldn't be muktzah. Kamashron says the Gemara that since people really never use muchin for that purpose, therefore that does not give the muchin a permitted purpose on Shabbos. So bottom line, Rabbo said, the Gemara seems to reach the conclusion that even if you used the muchin for insulation purposes on Shabbos, nevertheless, halacha lemaisa, it's still muktzah. It's still muktzah, and you would not be able to go out and move it for any other purpose. Fine. Says the Gemara. says the Gemara. Okay, so the Gemara says, let's go back here. So the Gemara says the following. Rav Chista shari lahaduri uju lebeisajim b'shabsa. That's another interesting case. So Rav Chista allowed you to go ahead and return uju. Look at Rashi. Laduri uju lebeisajim lahachzir muchin shenaflu me'akar l'socham. So Rav Chista said the following: If you had this muchin, right, this soft material which people would often use for cushions or for pillows, if your muchin fell out of your pillow on Shabbos, so Rav Chista allowed you to go ahead and return it into the pillow on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Eisvei Rav Chanan Bar Chista Rav Chista, I have Rav Chanan Bar Chista ask the question to Rav Chista. Matirin beis hatzavar b'shabbos, avalo poschim. Literally, you could open up a neck hole on Shabbos, but you can't create one. You can't create one. Rashi says, matirin beis hatzavar shederech hakovsin l'koshan. So, what's actually interesting? So, remember, how did you make a neck hole? So, you had a piece of fabric, you ripped a hole in it for your head. That's a neck hole. So, interesting enough, when you used to send your clothing to the launderer, What they would do is they would lace up the neck hole, not tie it up in a part. They would lace it up. That's it. So the Gemara says that on Shabbos you could take out the strings, the launderer strings that closed up the neck hole, but you may not create a new one. Rashi says, "Avalo posin lechatila dehashta avid leimana." Now, why couldn't you do that? That would be called makia patish, like we saw on Sunday, right? Makia patish. That would be going ahead and delivering the final halibut, because by creating the neck hole, you are in essence finishing the kli. Ve'ein nostin es hamuchin, lo l'socha kar, ve'lo l'socha keses b'yom tov, ve'ein tzarach lomer b'shabbos. Furthermore, says the Braisa, and you may not go ahead and return the soft stuffing to the pillow or to the cushion on Yom Tov, and all the more so on Shabbos. So what's that contradiction? So Rav Chista wanted to say that if the stuffing of the pillow or the cushion falls out on Shabbos, that you could return it. Now Rav Chanan Bar Chista posed the contradiction. The Braisa says you can't. So the Gemara says Lana Kasha, Lo Kasha, Habacharati, Habaatiki. Two different types of pillows. One is talking about a new pillow. One is talking about an old pillow. Look at Rashi Becharati, Shelo Hayu Meolam. L'socho aster, the hashta of leimana. So if you're talking about a new pillow that never had the stuffing in it, so when you put the stuffing in it for the first time, then what are you doing? You're making it into a kli. If you're making it into a kli, that's makif. Oh, that's problematic on Shabbos. However, ba'atiki Rashi says, lachzir l'karzesh nachul mani. But if it's already an old pillow, a definition of an old pillow means that it was already completed as a pillow, it already had the stuffing in it, then what? Then if it falls out on Shabbos, you're permitted to go ahead and put it back in, because the act of putting it back in is not an act of creating the pillow. Fine. So the Gemara says the following. Tanya Nami Hach. We have a Braisa that supports this. Ein nosin asamuchin lo besocha kar v'lo besocha keses b'yomtiv ve'ein tzarech lomer b'Shabbos. The Braisa says, we do not put the stuffing back into the pillow, back into the cushion on Yom Tov, and all the more so on Shabbos. However, noshru, but if it fell out, machzirin osan b'Shabbos, you could put it back in on Shabbos, ve'ein tzarach lomer b'Yom Tov, and all the more so on Yom Tov. So Rabbi says, you see over here that the Braisa is mechalik, ein nostin refers to lechatchila. You can't create for the first time a new pillow or a new cushion on Shabbos or Yom Tov, but if it fell out, you are permitted to go ahead and what? Halacha Maisa, return it inside. How is what? Say it again. Oh, excellent. So how is the pillow different than the menorah? We learned, say, saying good on Sunday, we learned that if you take the branch up, so the chiluk seems to be like this, that the tsuras hakli of the pillow is the same. Right? Whether the stuffing's in, the stuffing's not in there, the kli has the same appearance. And therefore, the act of putting the stuffing in is not, or returning the stuffing, is not considered to be the fashioning of a new kli, because the tzura doesn't change. Masha'in came the menorah, when the branch is off, it looks one way. When you put the branch on, it's now something different.
He's asking if pillow is a kli.
Pillow is a kli. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Amrav Yehuda Amrav. Now the Gemara is going to go back to that shirt case, to the clothing case. Amrav Yehuda Amrav. Haposeach beis hatzavar b'Shabbos chayiv chatos. So Rabbi Yehuda is the name of Rav, that if one creates a neck hole in an article of clothing on Shabbos, Chai B'chatos, Rashi says, Dahashta, last Rashi in the Daf, Dahashta Kamashvi Le Mana. Because now, what are you doing? Now, you're making it into a kli. The Chayiv Mishum Make Bepatish, Vahainu Gimar Milocha. Because it was said that the creation of the neck hole in a garment was essentially the last stage in the creation of a garment. So if you do that on Shabbos, Make Bepatish, find Chayiv Chatos.
This is not from the cleaners.
This is new neck. New, brand new cleat doesn't have a neck hole. You are literally tearing a neck hole in the fabric. Maskiv la Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana raised the contradiction. He says, but one second. Ma bim zu lemagufas chavis. Why is this different, any different than the top of the barrel? Top of the barrel. What's the case of the top of the barrel? Look at Rashi. Disanya perik chavis shenishpro. We'll learn later on. Maybe adam chavis, a person brings a barrel of wine. Umatis es rosha besayif. You could bring a barrel instead of wine, but it could be of anything you want. And what do? You lop off the top of the barrel with a sword. So the Gemara says, so now Rav Kahana says, I don't understand. If you're permitted to go ahead and lop off the top of the barrel, which essentially is making an opening in the barrel, then why would you not be permitted to make an opening in the article of clothing? To which the Gemara says, no. Amrali Rava, it's totally different. Zeh chibur, v'zeh eno chibur. Two different cases. Literally, this one is connected, this one is not connected. So what does that mean, Rabbi Zayi? So first of all, look at Rashi. Megufa, is that Rashi says, Eino min achavis atzmo. Because here's the difference, is that the top of the barrel is not part of the barrel itself. The top of the barrel is an additional piece that is, however it's attached, or it's attached with wax or with something else. But the point is, it's a separate piece. It's detached from the clean. I will say, when we get to this sugya, this is when we'll get to the whole discussion about opening bottles and opening cans on Shabbos, what you can do, what you can't do. It's this sugya, Kuf Mem Zayin. We'll get to it in about 3 months. So the Gemara says the following. So that wasn't a joke, by the way. I mean, just it's a hundred blocks from now. So the Gemara says the following. So Eina min achavis me'atzma avapi shedvukobo eino choshev chibur. So therefore, because ultimately this top of the barrel is a separate piece, it's not considered connected. Shahari linotel omedas. The whole chav is that top is made to be removed. Aval habeged kishenera kulo chibur. But ultimately, when you have one piece of fabric, even though Abbas can make the argument that obviously the piece of clothing was constructed ultimately in order to have a neck hole, but nevertheless, it is one cohesive piece of fabric. The barrel and its top are not one cohesive piece. They're two different pieces. Therefore, Rava responds, that's why you can go ahead and lop off the top of the barrel, but you can't create a neck hole within the garment. Romile Rabbi Yirmiyah the Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbi Yirmiyah raised the following question to Rabbi Zeira. Tanan, Shalol Shal Kofsin. So we'll say Shalol Shal Kofsin, Rashi says, is Darkom Lishlo Habigodim Zeim Ze, Kitanim Im Gidom Gudesh Lo Yavoy. This is actually interesting. What they used to do is, when you went ahead and you laundered clothing, they're professional launderers. You took your clothing to the launderer. What they would do is, they would tie the articles of clothing together. Tie them together, like stitch them together in a very temporary type of stitch. Why? This way, you don't lose a sock. Everything remains together. That's called shalol shel kofsim. Vishal shemes shel maftechos. Shalol shel maftechos is a keychain. Vahabeged shutafer bikilayim. And beged shutafer bikilayim means, let's say you have a number of pieces of wool fabric that are tied together with linen string. Look at Rashi. You have two pieces of wool that are tied together with a linen string. What's the common denominator among all of these cases? These are all temporary connections. All temporary connections. So the stitching of the launderer, the keychain, the pieces of wool fabric tied together with linen string are all temporary. Now they're temporary for different reasons. The launderer's stitching is temporary because ultimately you're going to need to take your clothing apart in order to wear it. The kilayim case is temporary. Why? Because you're not allowed to leave. That's kilayim. So at some point in time you're going to have to rectify that particular situation. So these are all examples of what we'll call a chibur arai, of a temporary connection, a temporary connectedness between these particular items. So why is this important? So the Gemara says, chibur l'tumah. All of these items are considered to be connected for tumah purposes. What does that mean specifically, Rabbi Osai? That if, let's say, take this example. Let's say my clothing is at the launderer, and it's all, let's say I have 10 articles of clothing, and they're all stitched together. If one of those articles of clothing becomes tummy, then what? Then the other 9 follow suit. Right? I have 2 pieces of wool fabric that are tied together by a kilayim string, even though, again, they're going to have to come apart. One piece of fabric becomes tummy, the other one automatically becomes tummy. So even though all of these items are only temporarily connected, nevertheless, they are connected for tumah purposes.
Also for size, for shlosha al shlosha.
Also for shlosha al shlosha. I guess so. I guess if it's a chibur for tumah, it's shlosha al shlosha. Ad she yaschil lahatir. Until you begin the process of taking them apart, of detaching them. Rashi says, ad she yaschil lahatir, de ma'ase motzi miyad ma'ase. V'chevan shehistchil lahatir, goli al yidei ma'isa, delav chad begetu. So the Gemara says something very interesting. The Gemara says that once you begin to go ahead and unwrap these items, meaning once you begin the process of detaching them, that they're considered to be detached even before what? Even before they're fully detached. So once I begin, let's say, to go ahead and take out the strings, the launderer strings, even though, again, I have not yet fully removed them, so that technically, physically, they're still connected, once I begin the process, they're already considered disconnected. So let's say in the process of removing the string, let's say one of the articles of clothing became tameh, only that article would become tameh, the others would not. So the Gemara says the following. Alma, what do we see from here? Alma, shelo b'shas melacha nami chibur. So we see from here, I'll say something very interesting, that these items are considered to be connected even shelo b'shas melacha. Now look at Rashi. What does that mean? It's literally even at the time when the work is not being done. What does that mean? Rashi says, shelo b'shas melacha, kigon shelo shel kofsin, shelo hutzruch l'shalolo, ela mishum shas kibus. So let's illustrate this. So for example, says the Gemara, that why does the launderer go ahead and connect all the various articles of clothing? In order to allow the launderer to more easily launder the clothing. So I might have thought that the only time the clothing is considered to be connected is at the time that it's actually being laundered. Kamashwan, what do we see? That no, it's considered to be connected even after the process of laundering is complete. In fact, it's considered to be connected until the point that I actively begin the process of disconnecting it. So we see that even shalo b'shas melacha, even when it's not at the time when the work is being done for which the items were attached, nevertheless, they're considered to be attached for tumah purposes. So we want to say, or raise a contradiction. Makel sha'asa yad l'kordum, if you have a piece of wood, and you used this piece of wood as an axe handle. As an axe handle. Now Rashi says, Sha'aso yad l'kardum, shelo kavo l'socho. So also I say, I need to chop some wood, so I don't have a permanent axe handle. I grab a piece of wood, and I temporarily affix it to the axe head, in order to make myself an axe. So what's the halacha? The halacha is, chibor l'tuma b'shas melacha. The halacha is that the axe handle is considered to be attached to the axe, at the time that I'm doing work with the axe. So, meaning what? That if, let's say, the axe head were to become tameh, that tumah would also spread to the handle. But only when? Only when I'm actually working with the axe. So, for example, if, let's say, I finished working and I put the axe on the side and the axe head became tameh, the handle would not. So, the Gemara says, you see from here, b'shas melacha in, shelo b'shas melacha lo. What do you see from here? That the only time the chibur, the only time that the connection, the only time that the connection is established is when the item is actually being used in the context of malacha. But when the malacha is not being done, the chibur is not in effect. So that contradicts what we just said before. Because beforehand we just said that, let's say, for example, this stitching of the launderer creates a chibur even shelo b'shas malacha. So the Gemara says it's not a contradiction. Amrlei, hasam shelo b'shas malacha, adam asui lizarko labein ha'etzim. The difference over there is that halacha l'maisa, the derech is that if you're using a temporary axe handle, so as soon as you finish chopping your wood, the derech is that people automatically detach it and just throw it into the pile of wood. And therefore, again, the chibur is really only in effect at the time when the axe is actually being used. Hacha shelo b'shas melacha nami nechale. But interestingly enough, when it comes to the stitching of the launderer, a person has a vested interest in keeping the stitching. Why? Di'i mitnefu chadar mechaver lehu. Because this way, if the clothing becomes dirty again, then what? then you could launder it again with this same stitching. Or in other words, Rabosa, it seemed to be that the derech was that you didn't unstitch your clothing until when? Until you were literally ready to wear it again. Why? Because should something happen, and let's say for some reason this clothing gets dirty again, it's you don't have to go through the whole nisa of it's. I guess it's kind of like, you know, it's the same way that if a person brings a shirt home from the cleaners, you don't go ahead and take off all the tags and unbutton everything and put on your own hangers and you leave it the way that it is. So when you, I'm sorry.
So you remember it's not it's on its chops, you can't take it off.
That, all right, that's a different issue. Right, so here they used to keep the stitching in the clothing, albeit for a different reason. That in the event that the clothing got dirty, this before they even got to wear it, this way it was already stitched and ready to go back to the laundry. Therefore, halacha lemaisa. Therefore, we understand why by the stitching, even after the actual laundering was done, nevertheless, halacha lemaisa, it's still considered to be connected because people actually had a vested interest in keeping this connection until the point that they needed the clothing. Besuda, masnu lahashmaita mishmei derav chista. In Surah, they taught the following teaching in the name of Rav Chisda. The Pumbadisa masnu mishmei derav kahana. And at Pumbadisa, they taught in the name of Rav Kahana. Va'amrila mishmei derava. And others taught in the name of Rava. Okay, what's the statement? Man Tana ha milsud amar Rabbanon. Who is the Tana who holds the following idea that Rabbanon said? Kala mechuber lo hari hu kamohu. Anything that is attached to an item takes on the same identity as the item. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Really, what we just said before. Kala mechuber lo kigon shalosh shel kovsin da amran lael chibor v'nitma. Af zeh shelo nogo ba'atuma, v'ilav d'chibur hu ha'vetar, v'af agav d'nogo ba'hai, d'ein kli mekabel tuma, ela me'avatuma. So Rabbi said, who is the one who said that kol ha'mechubar, that any time that you are attached to a particular item, if that item becomes tamei, then the attached item becomes tamei as well? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Huda Amar Rav, Rabbi Meir hi. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. This now, listen to this. Beis ha'pach, u'beis ha'tavlin, u'beis ha'ner shebekira. So we'll say, literally what this means is, a receptacle for a pach. A pach is like a jug. Beis ha'tavlin, a receptacle for spices, u'beis ha'ner, and a receptacle for a candle, shebekira. Now we'll say, since what used to happen was that a kira is a stove. What they used to have are like these, I guess like lahavdil, I guess it would look like a cup holder. A cup holder that was attached, right? Right. So like a little receptacle that was attached to the stove, and you would put in there your spices, and you would put in there, you know, your oil, and you would put in there your nair. So these receptacles were attached to the stove. So the halacha is metamin b'mago, ve'in metamin ba'avir div Rabbi Meir. So what happens, Rabbi Osai? So says Rabbi Meir, if halacha lemaisa, the stove becomes tamei through mago. So now let's say a dead sheretz falls on top of the stove. So just as the stove becomes tamei, then what? Then all of the receptacles attached to the stove also become tamei. So we'll say that's what we were saying before. That again, the receptacles are mechuber; they're attached to the stove. So we see them here. That when the primary item becomes tamei, the attached items also become tamei. Now, what's interesting about this is the following. So Rabbi Meir says, however, ve'in metamin ba'avir, but they do not become tamei with airspace. Now remember, Rabosai, Stam Akira is made of cheres, is made of earthenware. So Akira, an earthenware Akira, has a very interesting halacha that if it can become tame in its airspace, meaning that if, let's say, you have tuma that just goes in the airspace of the oven, but never actually touches the oven is still tame. The oven is still tame. So Rabbi Meir says that, however, ein metamin ba'avir, if the stove were to become tame through its airspace, but let's say the sheres were to never touch the actual walls of the kli, then what? Then halacha lemaisa, only the oven becomes tamei, but the attachments do not. Rabbi Shimon says, it's tahor. Rashi says, Rabbi Shimon metayer, b'mago es mishelo naga ba'atuma, d'chochad kli ba'anpe nafshe. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon holds that the attachments are not considered to be part of the kli, and therefore only the kira is tamei, everything else is totally fine. So the Gemara says the following. So the position of Rabbi Shimon is quite clear. Rabbi Shimon holds that the attachments do not have the same identity of the kira. Therefore, no matter how the kira becomes tamei, whether it becomes tamei through maga, through an actual, let's say, sheretz touching it, or it becomes tamei through its avir, through its airspace, the kira is tamei, but all the attachments are not. Ella, excuse me. Elo the Rabbi Meir, but Rabbi Meir poses, but Rabbi Meir's position is difficult to understand. Why? Elo Rabbi Meir, I kikira damu afilu ba'avir nami litmu. According to Rabbi Meir, if you're really going to say that the attachments are what? If the attachments are really like the kira itself, then just as the kira, just as the stove becomes tummy through its airspace, even if the sheretz never touches the walls of the kli, so to the attachments should become tummy through the avir as well. Ilav kikira damu, and therefore if you're going to tell me that the attachments are not like the kira, then afilu b'maga nami lo litmu. Then even halacha l'maaseh, if the sheretz touches the actual surface of the kira, the attachments should mean. So what the Gemara is saying is, Rabbi Meir, choose a side. Right? If the attachments are like the kira, then they should be like the kira for everything. If they're not like the kira, they should be like the kira for nothing. To which the Gemara says, no. The olam lav kikira damu. Says the Gemara, in reality, the attachments are not like the kira. Are not like the kira. So what's happening over here? V'rabbanan hu digazru buhu. And it's the rabbis who came along and made a gzera that made the attachments like the kira. So the Gemara says, so in other words, what the Gemara is suggesting now is, these attachments aren't really considered to be mechubar, aren't really considered to be attached to the kira. The Rabbanon were the ones who made a gzera that made the Rabbanon, these items, these receptacles, are considered attached to the kira, and therefore become tummy like the kira. If that's so, says the Gemara, I gazer buhu, afilu ba'avir nami litmu. So why doesn't the rabbinic gzera go the whole way? Then why don't you say that just like the Rabbanon were gozer, that if the kira becomes tummy through maga, that the attachments become tummy also? Why don't you say that midrabbanon, if the kira becomes tummy through its avir, that the attachments should become tummy as well? To which the Gemara says, no. Avdu buhu rabbanon akira. The rabbis had to make a recognizable distinction. In order that a person not come to burn truma and kachin. Rosai, remember, halacha lemaisa, if let's say truma and kachin come in contact with tuma, you have to burn the truma and kachin. But you can only burn truma and kachin with karbanos if they come in contact with what? With the oraisa tuma. But you would not burn truma and kachim for dirabbanon tuma. So there's always a concern, we've seen this already a couple of times, there's always a concern that when the rabbis go ahead and create rabbinic tuma, there's a concern that people will go ahead and think that that's biblical tuma and end up burning truma and kachim, which could be a very serious transgression if you're not really allowed to do that. So therefore, whenever the rabbanon are goes their tuma, they always make some recognizable distinction so that people will know that it's rabbinic tuma. So the Gemara says, so for example, in this case over here, if we were to say, so mid-oraisa, we're going to suggest that the receptacles are not considered attached to the oven. Therefore, mid-oraisa, when the oven becomes tamei, what's the status of the receptacles? Totally fine, totally tar. The rabbanon come along and say, no, mid-rabbanon, we're going to treat those receptacles as if they're attached. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, the receptacles become tamei. But you're only going to make it tamei in one case, the actual case of maga, of where the actual tamei item touches the oven. Then the receptacles become tamei. But in the case of avir, if the oven becomes tamei through its airspace, but not through actual contact with the tamei item, in that case, we're not going to make the receptacles tamei. Why? Because therefore, people will see that the tumah of the receptacles is only dirabanan to begin with, and therefore, people will be vigilant that in the event that, let's say, Truman Kachin comes in contact with receptacles that were tamei, they will know not to burn that particular Truman Kachin. Okay, so the Gemara goes weiter. Turn around, Baram. Let's at least begin this particular sugya. Turn around, Baram. Masporas Shalprakim. Masporas shalprakim, Rashi says over here is scissors that are made up of multiple pieces, right? So scissors that's assembled by multiple parts. V'izemel sherehitani. Izemel sherehitani is a carpenter's plane. Rashi says, izemel sherehitani plaino, a plane. She mimachkim ba'es hacharisin. You smooth out the earthenware with it. Vinosnin habarzaloso had the force shall eat hamatukano ula achar melachto note lahimenu. And what you do is you slide in the blade into like a wooden frame that's ultimately there to hold it. And when you're finished, you go ahead and you remove the piece of metal from the frame. So the Gemara says, Tara Bala Maspar Shalprakim, Vizam Shuitani, Chibor Latuma, Vein Chibor Lahaza. It's actually quite interesting. They are considered to be a chibor. They are considered to be a connection for tuma, but not a connection for hazah. Now, also, I remember, what does this mean? So, tuma, we understand. Chibor la tuma means, that's what you just said before, that if halacha lemaisa, you go ahead and one part of it, remember, the chap over here is these are objects made up of multiple pieces. So, the Gemara now is saying, if one piece of, one part of the object becomes tame, the entire object becomes tame. But yet, they're not considered to be connected for hazah. What does that mean? That we know that if something goes ahead and becomes tameh, let's say from tumas meis, you have to sprinkle on it from the water of para aduma. Now, under normal circumstances, when you sprinkle on something from the water of the para aduma, the water doesn't have to touch every single part of the kli. Right? The idea is you just have to sprinkle the water on the kli itself. If it touches every, so if you, let's say if you have a large kli, as long as you sprinkle on it, even if the water doesn't touch every part, the kli is still tar. But the Gemara says, however, in this case, of these items made up of multiple parts, even though they're considered to be connected for tumah purposes, they're not connected for hazah purposes, which means what? You'd have to make sure that the water sprinkles on each of the parts. So for example, let's say on the carpenter's plane, you'd have to make sure that the water is sprinkled on the wood as well as on the metal piece. So let's just read the question, we'll stop here for today. So Gemara says, I don't understand that. Manavshach, I chibor hu afilu lahazah nami. So Gemara says, it doesn't make sense. If you tell me that the two items are connected and they're really one entity, then halach l'maisa, assuming they're connected for tumah, they should be connected for hazah, for the sprinkling as well. So ilav chibor hu, and if it's not considered to be connected, then what? Afilu l'tuma nami lo. Then halacha l'maisa, then even for tuma, they should not be connected either. All right, the most said to be continued tomorrow, Amir Tasham. We'll answer that question.
While they're separated, if one becomes not